This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 15 months after the Hamas sneak attack that unleashed Israel's fury on Gaza, Israel's cabinet approved the three-phase ceasefire hostage release deal. It should take effect on Sunday.
Part one, we'll see a ceasefire, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from populated areas, and the gradual release of 33 hostages over a six-week period, including Americans Sagi Dekel Chen and Keith Siegel, in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv. Voting 9-0, the Supreme Court upheld federal law requiring TikTok's Chinese owners to sell to a U.S.-approved entity or face being banned in the U.S. It takes effect Sunday, President Biden leaving it to his successor to deal with. The Justice Department and Sangamon County, Illinois sheriff announced the deal in last summer's killing of Sonia Massey, shot dead in her own home by a deputy after she had called for assistance. This is ABC News. The Justice Department issued a scathing report on the Louisiana State Police. ABC's Dave Packer has the story.
Federal investigators are accusing Louisiana State Police of widespread misconduct, including excessive force and misuse of stun guns. A new report says troopers often used force without warning, even on restrained individuals, creating a serious risk of harm to the public. The findings follow an investigation into Ronald Green's 2019 death, where officers beat and stunned him after a high-speed chase. In a statement, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry and Attorney General Liz Merle pushing back, calling the report an effort by the DOJ to push a political agenda. Dave Packer, ABC News.
As he delivered his farewell address at Fort Myer, Virginia, outgoing Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin waxed humorous.
This is actually my second ceremony retiring from the Department of Defense. And over the past 4 years, my wife Charlene has repeatedly pointed out to me that I failed retirement.
Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks have won four of their last five games. They host the Raptors tonight. Now, they beat the Magic on Wednesday. On Tuesday, they ended the Kings' seven-game winning streak. But on Sunday, they got blown out by the Knicks. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Tonight, I thought we were high energy. The other night, we had no energy. The good part of that is it makes you know you can play against anybody. The bad part of that is if you don't have it, you can lose against anybody, and we've shown that too much.
Baseball players and coaches remembering Bob Uecker, who died after a battle with lung cancer. I asked Ryan Braun if he relied on Uecker as a confidant and friend.
Yeah, I think it always felt like a safe space when you were having a conversation with him. He was almost like a team psychiatrist or psychologist where you knew that you could talk to him about anything, you could fully trust him, you valued his feedback and his opinion, and you knew that anything that you shared, you could trust that he was going to do right by you.
That's former Brewer Ryan Braun. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The third installment of the 28 Days franchise, titled 28 Years Later, opens in June 2025. Sources say despite the new chapter's $75 million budget, part of the new film was shot on an iPhone 15. This would make 28 Years Later the most expensive film ever to use smartphone technology, at least for cinematic purposes. We've come a long way since movies used to use flip phones. Just a little over a year ago, in late 2023, Norman Lear was being praised by everyone in Hollywood after his death at 101 years old. But Sally Struthers, who played Gloria on All in the Family, says that she was not a huge fan of Lear. During a recent appearance on the Let's Talk About That podcast, the two-time Emmy winner says Lear told her she was only cast because she had blue eyes and a fat face like Carol O'Connor, who played her father, Archie Bunker, on the show. Words hurt, even with two Emmys and a big bank account. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a few flurries, a low in the low teens, windy with wind chills below zero. Partly sunny for tomorrow, high upper teens, wind chills near 5 below. Partly cloudy Sunday, high near zero, wind chill to 20 below. Right now it's 43.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss the life and presidency of Jimmy Carter with journalist and political consultant Candy Stroud before spending some time honoring Dr. King's holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. News from the center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all
Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Well, yesterday, Haley, I had trouble talking, and I think I'm doing a little better today. So we should have a really groovy segment right here. A lot going on. Hey, you know, I always like talking about this is our ninth season, and I know you've been with us a couple of years. How have you liked working on all these Native issues and all these guests we've had over the years?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for asking that. It's been honestly such a pleasure to be on Native Roots Radio, have a platform where we get to amplify so many Native voices, not only in the Twin Cities area, but in all of like our tribal, 11 tribal areas in the state and around Turtle Island. And I've learned so much and been able to connect with a lot of different organizations and use a lot of the resources as well, just by learning from this show and be able to connect more to my culture and more to my self-identity as well. So it's been a great journey, and I'm happy we're on our ninth season. Let's make it to the 10th one.
Yeah, that's a good goal. I like goals. That's a good goal. Yeah, it's great to have you on. I've had a great line of producers, and you are definitely right up there with the top three. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, Dega. And it's fun because I get to work with my Dega, with my uncle. And I know like a lot of people may be like, oh, you want to work with your family. But it's like, we didn't know each other our whole lives, or like, I didn't, you know, have you around growing up. So this time to be able to talk every day and work together is more than just a job for me too.
Wow. Thank you so much. And I feel the exact same way. That was really put well. I feel like though I've known you forever, and that we are a great team here. And as everyone probably knows that listens to the show, Haley produces the show and gets the guests and wrangles me in there and rolls her eyes when I can't read the right question in the right way. We just had that happen a few times this week. I do that just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, make sure I'm listening for sure. Yeah, well, I've had people in community who are like, oh, you and your uncle get along so well. You guys are so funny together. You must, you know, have always been that way. And I'm like, no, I've only known Robert for a few years. And they're like, right. Totally can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, and that's something to say too. Haley, what I want to embarrass you for a second, but I was looking for a producer and knew you had the experience from your college days. Mm-hmm. And I remember it's like, all right, we got, you know, Haley here. And I think Zoe was helping you.
She was
helping you learn how to produce and whatnot. Yeah. And then I remember you drawing the line in the sand saying, well, I'm not going to be on air ever.
I was like, okay, Dega, I don't want to talk. I was like, I don't want to talk, even though it's a talk radio show.
Right. You were signing there the first week or so.
Just background position. Yeah. But no, this is fun.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what you were saying about learning so much. I learned so much because we got to remember it's a double-edged sword here for us in the Twin Cities because we have so many other nations that are represented. We have 78,000, just in the Twin Cities, 78,000 Native Americans from over 110 tribes that are existing here in the Twin Cities. And but we also want to separate ourselves too and not do the pan-Indian thing like, you know, hey, let's have a dream catcher. And it's like, no, dream catchers are for Ojibwe and, you know, those things. And so I've learned a lot over the years. And I was glad to hear you say that because I sure the heck have. And we came in here starting with the fight for clean water with the Standing Rock situation. And that's why we started the show, to support Standing Rock and the No Dapl. And it's just turned into everything. We've had people from Reservation Dogs on to politicians, to vice presidents' husbands, to comedians, to musicians. And it's just been I couldn't be more happy with what we do here and how we support our community.
Yeah, and really just amplifying not just, you know, one certain group of natives' perspective, but everyone's. And, you know, that could be like woodland tribes areas, or we could be, you know, the Southwest areas tribes. Like, we're all a little different and we have different things. But when we can come together and share our similarities and differences, even though we're all Indigenous people, I think that makes us stronger as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely, you know, I don't know. I'm just really excited because in the other sense, too, we're all related. And I was telling my Weeha, Jelaine, today that, we were in New York and went to this play and it was a one person, one native play. It was this lady telling her story about being Native American and being brought up in an Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun, but her daughter introduced her and her daughter said, I'm this, that, and Ho-Chunk. And I was like, well, Ho-Chunks are everywhere, even out in the East Coast. It was just funny because we all are related.
Yeah. And that's cool about like sharing each other's stories and being able to be in spaces together where we're celebrating Indigenous art and stories and culture. I think that's, you know, it's a great time to be Indigenous. I really think that. And there's really been no better time. And it's kind of like an era where we're celebrating who we are now. We're celebrating our art and not only for ourselves, but, you know, allies are noticing too, and they're helping us in our issues that we care about as well. And, you know, just with that is more strength in itself.
Right. And it's, you know, not only are we learning, but our listeners are learning and our white allies are learning. And that's a really good thing because as we talk about all the time, these things that Native Americans deal with are never taught and are rarely taught in school. Hey, I have a quick question. I know we have like a minute or so left. There's a big group of people, Native Americans, that are on TikTok. And, you know, we're going to have a guest on in a week or so that has some really great things that he says on TikTok, a young warrior. But there's a native side of TikTok that is going to be really missed. And it is a lot of education. It is, you know, at one time, 1 minute, 90 seconds, and then now 3 minutes of video and content out there. And I'm going to miss that. And I watch my TikToks of certain authors and certain Native Americans, people that are falling. And I know the Supreme Court just came up with, supporting the getting rid of TikTok. And so that's kind of a sad deal, because I feel like, Facebook and Google and all those other people are spying on you, too. So I don't know. How do you feel about TikTok leaving?
I don't know. I don't know how fast or quickly it's going to go away. I kind of heard that they were going to stop updating it and it'll kind of glitch out and disappear from there. But one thing I saw on Facebook, which is kind of ironic, someone said TikTok should be available on reservations since we are sovereign nations. And I kind of thought, well, that would make sense, right?
Yeah, if it worked that way, if we really were, you know, sovereign. And so we are a sovereign nation, but we aren't treated that way many times. And so that's a good point, but it's also, I don't know, it's pretty gray zone for the governments, and especially with the president, the new president being brought on. We're going to be not worrying about TikTok so much, but worrying about our sovereignty.
Yeah, for real. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, hey. Shout out to everybody. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Wanda said, stay with us. Hoa. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Even though we're already into 2025, it's always the right time to support AM 950. The AM 950 2025 calendar is here, featuring photos I took around Minnesota and important progressive dates. Members that sign up for a one-time $30 membership will receive a 2025 AM 950 calendar as a thank you. Make a one-time $100 donation, you'll get the AM 950 calendar and a signed copy of Tom Hartman's latest book as a thank you. Hurry, the thank yous are running low. Go to am950radio.com for details on the membership. Thank you so much for supporting AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Spring and summer is the right time to install your fireplace. Find your perfect fireplace and have it installed and ready before the cold weather hits again. If you already have a wood fireplace, consider a fireplace insert or check out the entire selection at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces on East Franklin and Riverside in Minneapolis. It will transform your inefficient fireplace into a reliable, environmentally smart heating system.
This is Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire? It's primordial, the way it touches both the animal and the human. We know that fire reaches deep into the heart and soul. Let us show you how. We have over 35 working units on display here in Minneapolis. We are located at the east end of Riverside Avenue at 2901 East Franklin. From I-94, take the Riverside Avenue exit. Find us also online at woodlandstoves.com. Let us help you make a fireplace part of your life.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 15 months after the Hamas sneak attack that unleashed Israel's fury on Gaza, Israel's cabinet approved the three-phase ceasefire hostage release deal. It should take effect on Sunday.
Part one, we'll see a ceasefire, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from populated areas, and the gradual release of 33 hostages over a six-week period, including Americans Sagi Dekel-Chen and Keith Siegel, in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv. Voting 9-0, the Supreme Court upheld federal law requiring TikTok's Chinese owners to sell to a U.S.-approved entity or face being banned in the U.S. It takes effect Sunday, President Biden leaving it to his successor to deal with. The Justice Department and Sangamon County, Illinois sheriff announced the deal in last summer's killing of Sonia Massey, shot dead in her own home by a deputy after she had called for assistance. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks have won four of their last five games. They host the Raptors tonight. Now, they beat the Magic on Wednesday. On Tuesday, they ended the Kings' seven-game winning streak. But on Sunday, they got blown out by the Knicks. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Tonight, I thought we were high energy. The other night, we had no energy. The good part of that is it makes you know you can play against anybody. The bad part of that is if you don't have it, you can lose against anybody, and we've shown that too much.
Baseball players and coaches remembering Bob Uecker, who died after a battle with lung cancer. I asked Ryan Braun if he relied on Uecker as a confidant and friend.
Yeah, I think it always felt like a safe space when you were having a conversation with him. He was almost like a team psychiatrist or psychologist where you knew that you could talk to him about anything, you could fully trust him, you valued his feedback and his opinion, and you knew that anything that you shared, you could trust that he was going to do right by you.
That's former Brewer Ryan Braun with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Hollywood is still mourning the loss of director David Lynch. Tributes have inundated social media the last several days for the Oscar-nominated creative force behind Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Lost Highway, The Elephant Man, and The Straight Story. Lynch's colleagues are also paying tribute. Sopranos creator David Chase says no one who creates a long-form drama on TV was not influenced by Lynch's iconic Twin Peaks. Lynch was a one-time Wisconsin resident and passed away last Thursday at the age of 78. Speaking of Lynch, actor Kyle MacLachlan says he owes his entire career to David Lynch. The director cast the now 65-year-old actor in Blue Velvet and also made him the lead actor in Twin Peaks. MacLachlan called David Lynch the most authentically alive person he's ever known. That is some serious praise. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a few flurries, a low in the low teens, windy with wind chills below zero. Partly sunny for tomorrow, high upper teens, wind chills near 5 below. Partly cloudy Sunday, high near zero, wind chill to 20 below. It's 42 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. And it's like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, more studies show men are lonely. Why is that? What can be done? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. Hey, it's producer Haley here, just checking in before our weekly update from Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. I want to shout out NAC, one of our great sponsors. They will be closed Monday, January 20th in observation of Martin Luther King Day. As well as Little Earth Residents Association will also be closed on January 20th, as well as the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and they will be reopening on the 21st following on Tuesday. I would double check a lot of other organizations and places that may be observing that day as well, and will not have their usual hours. Up next here, we have part one update from Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish as they start their session of 2025 here in the Minnesota State Legislature the first week. Let's hear how it went. Here's Mary Kunish.
It is State Senator Mary Kunish from Minnesota here. I represent the District of 39, which are the communities of St. Anthony Village, New Brighton, Columbia Heights and Hilltop, Spring Lake Park, and Fridley. And I can tell you we have successfully completed the very first week of the state legislature here in Minnesota. And if you are not paying attention, I'll give you a little rundown, but I think most people have been hearing about the turmoil that we have here at our state capitol when it comes to the legislature. And it really kind of comes down to the closeness of both bodies, the House and the Senate. After this past November election, the Minnesota Senate was successful in retaining the majority of just one person because we had a special election to replace Senator Kelly Morrison, who went on to Congress. And we were fortunate to bring back our very good friend, Ann Johnson Stewart, who served 2 years in the Senate, then was redistricted out, and now is elected back into the Minnesota Senate. So we welcome Senator Ann Johnson Stewart back to the Senate. In the House, it's a little bit different because by the end of the election, it was a tie for Democrats and Republicans. But unfortunately, there was a question around residency of one of the Democrats. And that was, he was found to not be a legitimate resident of the district he was elected to, so he stepped down. We also have the question of, well, we don't have the question of it, but GOP has the question of the legitimacy of the election with Representative Tepke down in the Shakopee area. He won, and then there were a number of, like, 20 ballots that were thrown away, and they were retrieved successfully, and it was determined that he was indeed the winner. The GOP says no, he was not, and they are calling for a special election in that seat. So in the meantime, the Senate has negotiated a leadership sharing plan until we can replace the Senate member for District 60, our very, very dear Senator, Senator Carrie Dietzick, passed away in December, and we are now in the midst of a special election. This past week, there was a primary election in Northeast Minneapolis, and from that primary, Democrat Doran Clark was successful in receiving the most votes, so he will go on to the special election on January 28th. And then, in the Republicans, Abigail Walters also prevailed. So those two will go into a special election on January 28th. It is a strong Democrat district, Northeast Minneapolis, a wonderful community built on the backs of immigrants who came over to the Twin Cities and worked in the flour mills, in the factories, in building Minneapolis and St. Paul what they are today. And it still continues to be a strong community of ethnic cultures and community members, as well as a really strong blue-collar kind of community. And so we really mourn the passing of Senator Carrie Dietzick, but look forward to hopefully bringing back the majority in the Senate as Democrats. And as I said, the Democrats were able to negotiate a power sharing agreement with the between the Democrats and the Republicans. And I really have to tip my hat to our leader, Aaron Murphy, who and our senior members in our caucus, who worked so hard to negotiate with our GOP members. The GOP members came to the negotiating table in good faith with the shared, the shared goal of being able to represent our caucuses, whether they're whether they're GOP or Democrat in the Minnesota Senate. And so we've been able to begin our session in the Senate, co-sharing a lot of the decision-making, and especially within our committees. So, for example, I am the chair of Education Finance. I've been the chair for the last 2 years, and I will be co-chairing with GOP member Senator Rarick. And we've worked out a very amenable schedule where I will chair one hearing and the next hearing will be Senator Rarick, and we'll go back and forth. We talked about the bills that we'd like to bring forward and came up with a really good agreement. So I'm actually looking forward to this exercise in collaboration and co-governing, basically. I mean, I don't know when I've ever had this kind of an experience. I don't know that any other legislator, unless you were a legislator back in the 1970s, had this opportunity. But in the Senate, we are very much determined to ensure that we can do the work for the country, or for the state, for our communities, for our caucus as well. It's a different story over in the Minnesota House. So right now there's actually a court hearing that our state Supreme Court is hearing, because when Secretary of State Steve Simon went into the House to open up the session for the House, you have to have a quorum. And it was determined that the quorum, it did not meet the level of quorum. And so he said that, and I'm talking about Secretary of State Simon, he said that that he is still the presiding officer in the Minnesota House, even though our GOP House members elected their leader, Lisa Demuth, to the position. And he asked the court to back his position that 68 members are needed for a quorum, as it is in the Constitution. And without that 68-member quorum, they cannot conduct any official business in the House chamber. He said that, again, Secretary Steve Simon reminds us that the House lacked the constitutionality that is required for quorum on January 14th, and therefore Representative Demuth has not properly been elected to the Speaker, and the House cannot transact business. And so our Democrat House members are basically not showing up because they do not they recognize that quorum was not met. And they are working diligently and hard in their own districts and across the state to work with their constituents and the people that have issues they'd like to bring forward. And until the hearing from the Supreme Court, I think that'll come on Tuesday, is cited, our House members, DFL House members, are working outside of the complex while the GOP members are basically unauthorized trying to get some things done. So it is a very quote unquote interesting time in the Minnesota legislatures, and I'm confident we'll sort it out. It's really important that we meet the needs of our communities, and every single one of us take our election certificate very seriously. And so we will continue that work, and I can share a little bit more. I think we have to take a break right now, but I'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE, Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think...
Bucks bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks have won four of their last five games. They host the Raptors tonight. Now, they beat the Magic on Wednesday. On Tuesday, they ended the Kings' seven-game winning streak. But on Sunday, they got blown out by the Knicks. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Tonight, I thought we were high energy. The other night, we had no energy. The good part of that is it makes you know you can play against anybody. The bad part of that is if you don't have it, you can lose against anybody, and we've shown that too much.
Baseball players and coaches remembering Bob Uecker, who died after a battle with lung cancer. I asked Ryan Braun if he relied on Uecker as a confidant and friend.
Yeah, I think it always felt like a safe space when you were having a conversation with him. He was almost like a team psychiatrist or psychologist where you knew that you could talk to him about anything, you could fully trust him, you valued his feedback and his opinion, and you knew that anything that you shared, you could trust that he was going to do right by you.
That's former Brewer Ryan Braun with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to. Lots to talk about. Wanted to look back this week because I think what happened on Sunday was a big deal. I think it was a big freaking deal. The idea of expanding Social Security for the first time in a couple of decades. This idea that we're going to help working people, and it has been at the heart of what Joe Biden did during his presidency. But this Social Security Fairness Act is going to make people's lives better. Some 3 million people across this country are going to make them whole, going to right a wrong from the past, going to go and undo something of the Reagan era. It's interesting to me to see the parallels between 1979 and 1980 and today. It's interesting to see we're in another one of those moments where, again, working people are going to be the target. The difference being, I think Joe Biden actually tried to do his best to undo the neoliberalism that began really, Ford era, Carter era, and accelerated massively during the Reagan era. I look at this as a moment where someone cared about workers for a moment. I think we're going to live through 4 years where there's going to be a lot of rhetoric about who cares about working people and who doesn't. I think we're going to hear a lot of bluster. I think there's going to be a lot of bloviation, especially from the guy who owns Truth Social and the guy who owns Twitter or X. We're going to hear a lot of, can I say the word? No, BS. We're going to hear a lot of bull. They're going to fill our eyes and our ears with a bunch of, to steal a Biden word, malarkey. The question is, are we going to buy it? The responses that I've got on this Social Security Fairness Act from people have been, I guess, depending on how you voted for. If you voted for Biden, you think this is a good thing. If you voted for Trump, this is the worst thing ever. And it's something that, again, red hat, blue hat, instead of saying no, this is a worker issue, because guess what? Of those 3 million people who are going to benefit from them, a lot of cops and firefighters, a lot of those people voted for red hats. So for me, this isn't a right-left issue. This is an up-down issue. This is working people finally getting something. But even in this step forward, even in this expansion of Social Security, even in this help for working people, the wealthy got away again. And by not having a pay for, which generally Republicans lose their mind over, by not having this pay for, you know, taxing billionaires, you're now making it so that Social Security is a little less well-funded, a little more vulnerable, a little closer to that deadline down the road where benefit cuts are going to happen, somewhere between 17 and 21%. I've seen it as high as 25%. If we do nothing, crisis will happen. And again, I'm a firm believer, and I've finally come to the reality that America only reacts to crisis, that we as working people, we as a country, we cannot come together and put our red hats and our blue hats aside until there's a crisis. And a crisis is brewing. Social Security will have a cut down the road. That's going to happen if we do nothing. That's going to happen. And the longer we wait to do nothing, the harder the solution is going to be. But I believe we have to wait. The simple answer, the logical, the reasonable, the sane answer is Elon Musk paying 1 minute in 1 minute for the year of Social Security tax is ludicrous. 1 minute. While working people are showing up to work every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and paying into a fund that they are being told repeatedly isn't going to be there for them. This is all by design. This is not an accident. This is not just, oh, well, you know, no. This was well gamed out. This was well thought out. This was planned and executed. What has to happen, though, and, you know, in talking with Alex Lawson recently over at Social Security Works, he seems to believe that this coalition that came together to fight for this expansion will continue this fight into going after taxing the wealthy, scrapping the cap, expanding the amount of the number of income sources that are taxed. It's ridiculous that if you gamble on Wall Street, you're exempt. It's ridiculous that if you're making $4 billion a year, your liability is $176,000, whereas somebody who makes $176,000 pays on 100% of their income. It's ridiculous. It's a flawed system. Because understand, and I can't emphasize this enough because I don't think we hear it enough, Social Security is not an investment plan. It's not a retirement plan. It's not you going down to, you know, XYZ investment company and going, make me money. No. Social Security was conceived, derived, and enacted as an anti-poverty program. It was to make sure that when we get to old age, that we have something to live on. It is one of the most socialist progressive programs we have. And understand, red hat, blue hat, green hat, no hat, everybody universally in the working class sees its value. And if you were to talk about taking my grandmother's Social Security check or Medicare from her, she would have beat you with her cane and then her walker. And that's how most working people are. Because understand the progressivity of Social Security. If you spent your entire life working for poverty wages, you're going to get a little bit more than you paid in to make sure that you don't live in poverty. And if you made a whole lot of money, you're probably not going to get the same kind of increase because you don't need it. But ultimately, we've got the wealthy people who don't like that. We've got the Doge boys of the world and the Vivics and the Trumps who are like, no, mine, me. And we're going to see that come out in policy. We're going to see over the next 4 years, especially over the next several weeks, the big, beautiful bill that is supposed to cut taxes and you know, throw people out of the country and do all kinds of things that the wet dream fantasy crowd on the right told us they were going to do. And we're going to walk into this with our eyes open because we did this as a nation, maybe not you, maybe not me, but as a nation, we've done this, and we're going to have to open our eyes and see what's coming. And what's coming is, again, working people taking it on the chin. So when I see the Biden era, I see this as the kind of the cherry on the top of the sundae, if you will. This is a good thing. This is going to help working people. It's going to add to the legacy of Joe Biden as a champion, as someone who found his way towards ending some bit of neoliberalism, as pursuing policy to actually focus on returning to a prosperous working class where people like you and me, we've got a shot. And in our retirement, we're not going to get singled out and divided and pitted against each other because we have a pension or we don't. This is another one of those moments where, you know, I go back to if someone has a pension and you don't, instead of saying, why do they have one and I don't, ask, how do I get one? Because for me, the answer is we make all people's lives better. We provide that safety net under folks who maybe aren't as lucky, weren't born into a billionaire family, weren't handed invisible capital. Oh, I don't know, like an emerald mine in South Africa. Kind of makes me wonder. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Are you excited about the next 4 years? Or like me, are you concerned that you're the target? Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So yesterday on the program, we talked about what a big deal the Social Security Fairness Act was that was signed this week on January 5th. And again, this is what the Biden administration has promised they're going to do. They're going to help working people. And this has been decades in the making of undoing a wrong that was done during the Reagan years. So, kind of a big deal and maybe a little late in the administration, but I'm glad to see it got done. But here to share some thoughts on what the event was like and how important, how big a deal this is. I've asked CWA President Claude Cummings Jr. to come share some thoughts on the Social Security Fairness Act. Claude, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me on, and hello to your listening audience. And man, the president said this the other day while I was at the White House. He said, this is a real big, and then he caught himself because, he kind of cursed the last time he went there. But he said, this is really a big deal. And it really is, Rick, for public sector workers. This repeals a pair of provisions that had limited benefits for recipients on their pensions and other pensions and Social Security for years. And he's the first president in 20 years to expand benefits. And what he's done with this Social Security Fairness Act is he's eliminated two